Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing What If? Episode 1, Wee Hours, What If? It is time. We got a new series. Let's do this. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Jeff Randall. Matt's not here today. I'm running the show because Matt is asleep, probably, sawing logs, you know, like he does. And I've got...
What you do?
I've got J. Scotty St. Clair with me, the man himself from Animation Deliberation, fitting, as it were, for this series. How are we today, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm feeling animated, even though it is wee hours here. It's a great time to be alive. It's a great time to be a fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, as well as the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. And it's a great time to be a fan of animation. This was a hell of a way to kick off this series.
I agree entirely. Man, this, like... just the opening sequence. Like, they gave us that familiar... Dun! Dun, 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 dun! Like, they gave us the familiar intro of the Marvel Studios logo, and they got right into, like, hey, by the way, this is animated. And they did, like... They did the brush strokes over the logo to make it look like it was an animated thing. And, like, that took my breath away. I gasped audibly. I was like, oh!
Yeah, yeah. From beginning to end.
Just right out of the gate. So great. And, like, I don't know that they could have started with a better story. Because we got... this is episode 1. What if... Peggy Carter, Captain Carter, was the first Avenger. I think it said, what if Captain Carter was the first Avenger? But Peggy Carter. What if Peggy Carter got the serum instead?
Yeah.
And I love the principle. It takes, you know, from the principle of the show, takes pretty much straight out of the comics what if line of, what if a different choice was made? Right here. And... it goes straight into, like, voice of Jeffrey Wright.
Right.
Man's a saint. Mm-hmm. But it goes right into that very familiar, like, straight out of Captain America the First Avenger. We've all watched it hundreds of times. You see it happening, you're like, oh, I know this scene. And then,
right,
slight change. And then we're on a different track entirely.
Yeah, and that moment that they chose to, like, have be the pivotal moment where he says this is where a new multiverse was born was the fact that she chose to stay in the room, that she didn't go up to the booth. And that's not what I was expecting. Again, I tried to go into this thing with as little expectations and assumptions as possible. It was just difficult not to imagine a scenario where she just surpasses everyone in the training situation. I was just kind of surprised that they chose to just jump right into the scene, and just her being right there on the ground floor, her experience and her attention to detail, she notices right off the bat that something's off. So just everything plays out completely differently from right there, with the exception that we still lose Erskine, unfortunately. That must be the nexus event there, the through
fixed
line
point in time.
Exactly.
That's the fixed point in time. We always lose Erskine. I hate that. But, like, it makes sense, though, you know, because, like, what we know of the past and what we know of, you know, what we know of society, basically, is that women have always been, you know, pushed down, especially in the military. So, like, it makes sense that they wouldn't even think about considering her for the part of Captain America, or for, you know, for getting the serum. Like, they wouldn't even, like, not even a passing fleeting thought. And it's only in the moment where she sees, you know, things are going wrong, we're about to lose the project, something good has to come out of it. So that good's gonna be me. And I love I love that it's Hayley Atwell, and it's so familiar as far as Hayley Atwell, but the character model is so different. Like, she looks like, you know, she looks like a chick who lifts, and, like, I'm not gonna lie, I'm a fan.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's you know, it's whatever. But like, the, you know, because it's animation and because it's something like that, like they can do things like that. They can make that gigantic character change or that gigantic, you know, physicality change in a character in, sure, you know, no time flat. Like, boom, it's animated differently. You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just feel like because it's animation, they can do so much more and they can express so much more visually. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They kept it, like, relatively grounded, so even though that it is a, like you're talking about, things are a little more exaggerated and the action's a little more over the top, it still felt grounded and it still, like, felt like it could all take place within the MCU, but in terms of the action just being ratcheted up to 11, the part that stuck out to me is when she flipped the motorcycle up and aimed it to go through the watchtower window and just explode. Yes. That tower. I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Yep. And there were so many of those moments where you're just like, oh yes. Like,
yeah. But just kind of going back to some of the things you were bringing up in terms of just her transformation and seeing her, you know, get those bigger shoulders and whatnot, putting that against, like, seeing that transformation scene with Steve, like, we got to see him, like, scream out in pain and whatnot, and that just shows what a better candidate she was right off the bat. We don't get any of that. She's out of the pod right off the bat. She takes the guy out right then and there. She can't avoid the explosion, but yeah, it just incredible. Yep. And she has so much fun with it when she figures out what she can do with the shield, just battering those Nazi jeeps. This is brilliant. Did you see that?
Yeah,
let's do it again.
Yeah, let's do some more. And she's like, where have you been all my life? Like, I love that they didn't screw around with getting her the costume and the shield, and like, we didn't have to go through the whole rigmarole or whatever. And like, it makes sense that things would happen a little bit differently. Like, you know, Steve Rogers got made into a monkey on a bicycle in the USO shows, but you know, it would make sense that the government would want to keep, you know, a lady getting strong under wraps, and like, we can't talk about ladies going to war. Like, it's the 40s. How dare you?
Yeah. That guy that played that general, I don't have the cast list up right in front of me, but it sounded like sounded like he was doing his best, like, Bradley Whitford impression, and I guess he did a good job because I absolutely hated him.
Yeah, right? Like, oh my God, just wanted to punch him. I think it was actually Bradley Whitford, though.
Was it?
I need to find out. I mean, if it wasn't Bradley Whitford, it was a really, really good impression.
Yeah, right.
Because, like, much like every other time he's ever shown up, I'm like, man, your face is just so punchable.
Okay, it was. The character's name was John Flynn, and yeah.
Okay.
I'm a little proud of myself that I pulled that. Yeah, I guess that goes to show what a recognizable voice Bradley Whitford has. He's just a great,
Well, I think
smarmy guy.
Yeah, I think it's that recognizable feeling he puts in your chest. Where it's just like, oh, this is hatred. I remember.
I don't
this.
Like this, but I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And I like seeing the opening scroll of credits and the opening scroll of names. I saw Ross Marquand in there. I was like, okay.
Yes. Awesome.
We're getting that Red Skull back back? Yeah, it's back. But, you know, we're getting that Red Skull kind of as a substitute for the Red Skull that we had. And, like, I didn't miss Hugo Weaving. I hate to say it, but I miss Hugo Weaving. Like, it was great. I love this guy. And I love that Peggy was kind of more, because she was so determined, it felt like she was more competent almost. Because we saw a lot of the things that, you know, that went wrong for Captain Rogers with the train, or rather with like they stopped the Tesseract from getting taken like immediately.
Exactly.
And like put it off on a whole different thing because she was just like, no, we're going right. to do this thing. And I mean, it's probably also that Howard was like What's up, Peggy? What's up? What's up? Hey, girl. Let me make you happy by taking you to Norway.
Right. Tonsberg. Yeah, that scene played out a little differently.
It did. Yeah. Just the whole, like, that... I gotta say, like, it was... There was a decision made in that scene where she was kicking all the Nazi ass. There was a decision made in that scene where they decided to have the truck's headlights pointed at the camera, quote-unquote.
Yes.
And she was kicking ass in front of it. And that was killer.
Yes.
I was in awe of that going on. Like, that was that's a choice that, like, a director of a film would make to, like, have that really dramatic lighting and just have the silhouettes fighting each other. But, like, to do that in animation, like, it's hard to make animated things look like they are actually shining lights at me, but I felt it. I felt it there.
Yeah, yeah. It was an absolutely beautiful scene, and as much as this was, like, had all sorts of callbacks to First Avenger, were all over the place, like, that scene in particular kind of felt like the Winter Soldier on the Lumerian star moment, where you kind of, like, have, they weren't silhouetted, but you kind of had, like, the far out shots where you got to see, you know, Steve throw the shield and kind of, like, kick people with such, like, force for the first time. It kind of felt like her coming out party in that way. Like, this is what she can do with the shield. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, it was just so much more than we ever saw Steve do in the First Avenger. I felt like we had a solid Lemurian star moment when they were assaulting the Hydra castle.
Oh, okay.
Because it was dark at night, and she was, like, the first one in, leapt over the wall, and ran in and started taking out everybody, and, like, it seemed like she was going to be real stealthy about it at first, but then, like, gunfire started going off, and she's like, "Who needs a plan? Blah."
It was really good to get that scene too, because that's always kind of the thing in terms of Captain America and the version that we've gotten in the MCU. I absolutely love it. I love Chris Evans. I love Sam. Why can't I think of Anthony Mackie? But if we ever do get that Captain America 4, I really hope that there's a, like, flashback to World War II where we can get kind of that Captain America and Bucky storming Castlevania kind of feel, because that's very much an indelible part of Captain America that we haven't really got to see in the MCU. So it was great to get that kind of flourish with Captain Carter. I agree.
Yeah. And it was a hell of a flourish.
Yeah.
I mean, they went all out on that. Just the explosions felt visceral. Whenever anybody fell, the kicks, the punches, the fights, it all felt, like, so impactful, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm blown away by what these guys have done. And we were talking before we went live, that I think you were saying that the animation style of this thing is like no other show that we've seen.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's got that cel-shaded kind of, the feel of, like, the closest thing I can put it to is a video game, honestly.
It really does feel like The Wind Waker, The Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker in a lot of ways, yeah.
Yeah, it's Wind Waker, it's Breath of the Wild, like, mostly the Zelda games where they've done that sort of thing. I mean, maybe some Beautiful Joe in there.
Ooh, nice. Good reference.
good call.
Yeah. Like I said, it's very unique. All I can do is, like, make comparisons to it's this meets this, and it's kind of like, that cel-shaded style, but it feels almost like that golden era of Disney animation brought to live action, and it's just incredible. Even just seeing, like, the shield, like, smash into guys' jaws and stuff like that, even though it's cartoon and exaggerated a little bit, you still felt every impact. It's like, you're not getting up from that one,
right? And, like, any other animation style or studio would have had, like, you know, that super big the super big blonde German guy that was like, oh yeah, they brought the Fräulein to fight the battle. Like, when he comes out and she just kicks the shit out of him, like, she punches him in the knee and it breaks his leg immediately. I did the same thing. I was like, my legs hurt. Like, I felt that. And, like, any other animation studio would have just been like, pop, 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 and he's down. Or, like, maybe one big punch and he goes flying. But, like, they made this man hurt. Like, broke his leg, hit him in the nuts, and then socked his head into the ground so hard it cracked it. Like, made a crater around his face. Like, ooh, ma'am. I don't want to be one of those guys, but, like, do that to me? You know? Like, maybe not that hard.
Yeah.
I feel like they're making choices here that feel a bit more advanced than your normal, like, you know, your cartoon, if we'll put that in quotes.
Sure.
It's less the, you know, the Batman Beyond, the Batman animated series of, like, sock, sock, pop. I don't want to just throw out a whole bunch of DC stuff. So also X-Men, the animated series from,
sure,
you know, from the 90s. But, like,
sure,
it's not like that where, you know, nobody dies. Like, there were people getting just, like, brutalized by the shield. Like, it's definitely something that once the kids watch it, I'm gonna have to, like, have a conversation with them about it. Like, okay, well, what we saw.
Yeah. Yeah. There were some fried Nazis there, for sure.
Yes. Oh my lord.
Yeah. And as much as this was, like, Captain Carter's coming out party and we got to see so many great action sequences with Peggy and the shield, I really did appreciate getting to see Steve as the, what they call it, the Hydra Stomper. Yeah, and the way they animated those blue flames that just came out of the side, and he wrecked shop too, and I love that they got their dance scene, but it was completely such a different context. It's them wrecking shop and that's their dance scene. So good.
It was so great. I don't know that those were blue flames. I feel like they had a structure that looked like bolts of lightning.
Okay.
Almost like he had, like, electric cannons on there and, like, Howard, chill.
Yeah. Like, unstable energy almost, like, once it's just, like...
Yeah, just unleashed it in that direction. Yeah.
Exactly.
And maybe I can aim it. Oh, you guys are so screwed now.
I definitely wanted to say that when we were in the scene, but I was too enraptured with everything going on. I was like, I don't have time to type that comment. I want to focus on what's happening.
Yeah, like, there was one time I like alt-tabbed for a brief second. I was like, what am I doing? And it was to, like, to pick up, or it was to pull up pictures of Shuma-Gorath, because we were,
oh right, like,
we got the tentacle monster and we were like, is it Shuma-Gorath?
It's like, show me that eye. Okay, we got a gaping maw.
We got a toothy maw. No eye.
Yeah.
It's not really confirmed yet. So we got a Hydra's secret weapon champion from beyond the stars is a space squid. Or a space octopus. I'm not sure.
Who ordered the calamari?
Bucky was so good. Oh my god, Bucky was so good, and he was so witty. Oh, Bucky was so witty. And that line of, you almost ripped my arm off, like,
yes.
Oh, but, like, I almost kind of wish that Steve had gone out similar to the way that Bucky went out, and, like, we got the flip-flop, and, like, now Steve is the Winter Soldier in
right.
that verse. But, like, I guess I'm glad that would have been kind of,
predictable?
Yeah. That's not the right word, though. It would have been kind of cheap. I don't know. I'll figure out the word later. It's too late for words. Too late for advanced terminology. But yeah, that would have been real unfun. I like what they did with it, where it's like, oh yeah, it was invincible. They just captured him. You guys just gave up. You didn't take a shovel down there or anything. Like Bucky, I don't know. We don't get Bucky as the Winter Soldier. We don't get Bucky then becoming White Wolf. He doesn't get his vibranium arm. The universe has taken a dark turn.
No.
Although, like, with the end scene, you know, with the whole she's now in the present time.
Right.
And the war ended, you know, almost 70 years ago. That scene where she showed up, that was when Loki showed up in Avengers.
Yes.
So the Tesseract, you know, the Tesseract has awakened. Like, it triggered and brought her there, not Loki.
Right.
Like, was Loki the next to come through the door, or do we just get a whole other Avengers movie in the next season? See, now I need the next season. Give me this story more. Like, we're not done here. I need another one.
It's just going to be all these tangential stories, what if, spiraling off in all these directions. Every episode we get another what if that we just have to chase that thread.
We're going to have to chase. Oh, my God. So after this series ends, we need to keep track. We need to keep track of all the tangential threads. This is going to be a put it on the board kind of thing. Like, what happened because of this universe leading in that direction? Like, what changed? So we need to keep track of that in some way. You guys in the chat, help keep track in some way. We'll put it on the internet somehow. You know, give me some time. I'll figure something out.
A man can do anything with patience and time.
See, now I want to see that fight. Oh my God.
What would he say to her upon first meeting? So good to see the slightest speckle of amber in those brown eyes.
Oh no, that is not what he would focus on.
Those shoulders.
Ooh, those shoulders. So nice to see that you still lift. No, it's not going to be like that. He's not going to be super misogynistic and
creepy.
Creepy's probably the best word for it. It's me that's creepy. Okay.
Captain Carter, we're all a little creepy when it comes to her.
Oh, my word. My word. Sir. Give me the vapors.
So that just makes me think of All Might.
Yeah, right. What? young Midoriya. Like, that's such a fun voice. Anyway.
Yeah.
All that aside, we're tangenting real hard.
Is there anything
else that we need to talk about in this first reaction episode about what if Captain Carter was the first Avenger?
I guess I would just say it's worth mentioning we had so many of the returning actors from their roles in the MCU. I was pretty satisfied with those performers that were not. I don't have the people's name in front of me, unfortunately, but the guy that did the role of Steve, I thought
Josh Wheaton, I think is his name.
Okay, Josh Wheaton. I thought he did a very serviceable job, and it's probably a pretty thankless role. That those are tough shoes to step into. So
that's a hard act to follow.
Yeah,
that is definitely a hard act to follow. Definitely. I'm unsure that's actually the name of the guy.
We're probably two for two. We got the Bradley Whitford earlier on.
Yeah, we're doing great. We're the best. We're the best.
Just ride that energy.
Yeah, we'll keep riding that. To put a pin on it, I agree. You know, I did kind of miss, because I'm a, like, when it comes to voice actors, I'm just like, oh, I know that guy. And, like, I get really excited when I know that guy, and I didn't know that guy.
Yeah.
So I saw a character that, like, I knew that guy, but I didn't know that guy's voice. And I was like, this doesn't fit. This doesn't fit. This is wrong. Like, it bugged me a little bit, but it wasn't... Like, the story was so focused on Peggy and how freaking badass she was. Like,
yeah,
that was just a nitpick that, like, I'm sure most people can get past it. It's a thing for me, but that's me. It's just me. I mean, we got Dominic Cooper throwing out the best transatlantic accent, like,
yeah,
hands down. Where it's just like, you need to be more subtle, and he's just like, well, this is gonna be awkward. Here's a shield.
Or when he
I'm just a buttons guy.
Yeah, when he kind of interrupted Peggy and Steve's moment where they almost kissed, it felt it felt like the reversed fondue scene to me.
It did. And I love that they changed it to where he's just like, just pretend I'm not here. He's the creepy one. Yes, I can put the creepiness on him. It's not me. All right. Well, we're definitely going to circle back on this topic. There's so much to talk about and dig deep in when we've had some sleep. maybe we can form better words. Thank you, Mr. J. Scotty Sinclair, for joining me on this. Tell the people what you got going on.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Thanks for making it happen. I know running the stream is no easy task, especially this early in the morning. But yeah, if you enjoyed What If and you're a fan of animation and action animation in particular, please check out Animation Deliberation. It is a show on the Stranded Panda Network that focuses on our favorite action animation series. So the podcast was born out of was On the Other Side of Things, Young Justice for DC, but it's a stellar show, and we're going to be doing our own coverage of What If. We're going to try and do a few more deep dives into some of the ramifications and just get really nitty gritty into What If. So keep an eye out for that. Hopefully, we can have Jeff on for at least an episode or two, and your favorite contributors on the Stranded Panda Network. So yeah, Animation Deliberation, wherever you get your podcasts.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We have been the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. What If Matt Was Not Here? Saw in Logs. And yeah, peace. Until next time, true believers.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.